I found an addict named George. I want to thank God for allowing me and my friends to get safely over the highways and the byways. I want to thank the Chesapeake Potomac region area of Narcotics Anonymous for allowing me to come back, continue to share my experience, strength, and hope on the gift of recovery. The topic we got, is reality of recovery. It's kind of overwhelming. One thing I know about, is some people in this room, they came in here just because there wasn't nowhere else to go. But it's some people in this room that definitely shown me a lot of love and a lot of support, you know, and a lot of encouragement. And that's the reality of recovery, man. You know, when I really think about this topic, man, that all I really was looking for was love and respect. You know what I mean? And I tried to get it in various ways, and it just never worked. You know, sometimes when I just sit back and you take away the glamour and the glitz, all this stuff, because, you know, I don't really want to be known for how good I share. You know what I mean? I really want to be known by the quality of the way I live my life. You know, and that's really the reality of recovery. This ain't nothing but some entertainment for the weekend. You know, because some of us is looking for somebody to make you laugh or make you cry or make you feel. You know, my job, I think, when I come up here, because we carry this message in various ways. You know what I mean? And we got various personalities. You know, sometimes, you know, I believe my purpose when I get opportunities to do this is to make your ass think a little bit, you know. We need to stimulate each other, man, and motivate each other to be better people. So the reality of recovery, I don't know what the hell recovery was, man. You know, I grew up in the 60s. You know, I was dark-skinned. I was from a single-parent household, and I was totally self-centered, and nothing was never enough. You know, I come from a place where my mother really, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, thank God for the steps, you know, thank God for introspection, man, that everything that I was looking for, I already had it all along. I was just so damn self-centered that I couldn't see it, you know what I mean? And I didn't really understand and know that I suffered from the disease of addiction. You know, I was full of, you know, a gut-wrenching insecurity and raging self-obsession. You know, there's one point in time in my life, I was free. And they say in our literature, the four steps somewhere in our literature talk about getting back to that pure spirit that's on the inside, where we can feel like complete freedom. Like, I really believe I felt freedom at one point in my life, man. And it's when I was a little boy. I used to play spinning tops and catch butterflies and lightning bugs and, you know, shit like that, man. It's like, it wasn't about color. It wasn't about none of that stuff, man. I was completely free, and life was good, man. And looking back at my life, I think I began to get all jammed up when I began to compare myself to other people. You know, because I was free. Because me, my brother, and this guy named P.M., we used to pull our little weenies out and write our name in the snow. Then I looked over and Peter was bigger than mine. And I started to feel less than. And I started to feel inadequate. And I thought to feel like I wasn't good enough. And I didn't grow up in a segregated school district. And I grew up in the 60s, so we had film projectors. Where they would show America being built on the backs of slaves. And I began to feel less than and inadequate, you know, around the white people in the room. I began to lose myself, and I began to get very afraid about life. I began to think that I wasn't good enough. I began to think that something was wrong with me. And only until we got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and getting to the reality of what's really going on with us, you know, I'm one of the people, when we read the literature, it says some of us believe we suffer from this disease long before we picked up drugs. And I fit into that category, I believe. Because my story ain't dirty needles, jail cells, underwear, peeling shit socks off my feet. And I ate every day. You know, my clothes got washed every day. My mother wasn't in my life on a consistent basis. You know, that had me all jammed up a lot of times. And so I felt really lost growing up, man. And my mother did the best she could. I was a kid that got everything materialistically that you could ever want. I had a pony. I had a mini bike. I had a dashiki, you know. I had PF Flyers. I had Converses. I had Pumas. You know, I had the suede Pumas. I had Nikes. And that shit was never good enough, man. It only would work for a little while. Then I still would feel incomplete, you know. And by the time I was 13, you know, I started hanging out with my older cousin. Because I'm the type of person that believes that even when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, you hang around with speakers like Brian Cade, you think you're a fuck speaker. You know, you just didn't know how to get this right, man, because the person I was really uncomfortable being was myself. So the reality of recovery, the challenge of recovery for me is to be myself. You know, not to be anybody else but yours. You know what I mean? To find my own values, my own beliefs, and be able to have the courage to stand on. You know, because recovery is about courage. It's about courage, man. And I didn't have courage, man. I thought I had to people please, and I thought I had to be a part of, and I thought I had to laugh at jokes that wasn't funny, and had to stand by and see shit that wasn't cool that I wanted to speak up about, but I was afraid to speak up about it because bullies like fucking Richie would beat you up, so I wanted to be safe. You know? Somewhere in the literature, you know, it talks about addicts out of easier, softer way. So an easier, softer way for me is not to say nothing and go along with shit, but it never felt good on the inside, man. I never liked when they bullied the little kid with glasses. Somebody was sharing this story. I think my man from L.A. was sharing this story. He looked like Eric or Wes, you know. And I didn't like people that fuck with the Wesleys and shit growing up, you know. But I wouldn't say anything because I didn't want them to beat me the fuck up either, you know what I'm saying? So life was very challenging. And Narcotics Anonymous told me it was raging self-obsession. Narcotics now begin to identify the shit that was going on inside of me. Would make living in life a reality that it's really a good life, and it's really a good reality that I was living in, but the total self-centeredness that was contained inside of me wouldn't allow me to see that. And it's only as a result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous I could begin to wake up and begin to understand who I am and who I'm not. You know, the biggest challenge for me is come in and be me. If you're new, welcome to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. If you're old, welcome to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous gives us all an opportunity to be ourselves for real. To really experience love. Because that's the reality of recovery, about love and relationships. And I begin to realize and understand that there's four basic relationships to life. It's a loving, nurturing, caring relationship with yourself. It's a relationship with your family. And it's a relationship with your community. And it's a relationship with the God of your understanding. You know, and as a result of disease of addiction, it detached me from all those relationships. Because anytime you put something in you, it's self-hatred. Anytime you put those drugs in, see, anytime you got to do something in the back alley, in the dark, in the woods, somewhere over the hill, in the dark, the shit ain't right. Anytime I got to do anything, I got to look around before I do it, the shit ain't right. Anytime I got to say, psst, oh, yo, check this out, shit ain't right. And I began to realize and understand, man, that when I was caught up in the things like that, that I was not having a nurturing, caring relationship for myself. And so the dirty little secrets detached me from my family. See, the minute I broke intimacy with my mother, I could no longer come home. My mother could say, "How was school today, George?" You know, I had to tell a lie. I couldn't tell her that I was smoking weed in the fire escape. You know what I mean? I would get put on punishment. So I had to learn how to lie, be dishonest and deceptive. You know, recovery is about coming to the reality that I don't have to do that anymore, man. So we come to Narcotics Anonymous, the same damn people we came off the street with. The deepest thing about I found about this process, I'm not trying to be fucking spiritual. I'm just trying to be human. One of the most difficult things in the world for us, people like us, is to be human. Because I'm really in touch with that. I'm a super sensitive person. And until I could admit my super sensitivity, it no longer had the control on me that it used to have on me. Because I was busy trying to convince you that I wasn't shaky and secure on the inside. Right. Busy trying to convince you that I wasn't that, you know. So I disconnected from my mom, so I didn't have intimacy with her. And by the time you start, because I started using when I was 13. Huffing. See, a lot of times we don't want to talk about fucking huffing. Today they call that being a duster and shit. You know, my first drug was fucking shoe cleaner in a fucking rag. You know what I'm saying? That you start off in the basement and I wind up in the closet and shit. Because you're in the fucking blackout. You know what I'm saying? You know, that was my first great escape and shit. When I look back and tell my story, you know what I mean? And my need to be a part. See, I thought if I hung around bigger people, that you thought I was bigger and tougher, man. I never really wanted to do anything like that. The reality of Narcotics Anonymous has taught me, man, to pay attention to the most important part of me is my spirit. most important part of me is not the physical, it's the spiritual part of me, man. And I begin to realize and understand, man, that I begin to abandon myself because I know I'm going to abandon myself now as a result. The reality of recovery teaches us to know who we are and who we're not. So I'm abandoning myself when my heart beats rapidly before I get ready to do something wrong. Before I get ready to do something wrong, my shit be like pumping. I'm hyperventilating because I'm going to defile myself, man. And I found out that the disease of addiction screams at you 1,000 times, and the God of your understanding that's in your spirit only speaks to you once or twice. And then because I thought that if I paid attention to my heart, that you would think I was a punk. That if I paid attention to my heart, you would think that I was weak. That you would think that I was a sucker. But I'm in touch with today, man. The guy that can pay attention to his spirit is the baddest dude in the room. Because the spirit is contained in principles, man. You know, but we got this issue, most of us, because they don't talk about a lot of issues in Narcotics Anonymous, but one of them is people pleasing. People pleasing is an issue with all of us, man. And so my people pleasing will allow me to kill my spirit. So I'm trying to learn how to pay attention to my spirit more, man. It's the first to leave and it's the last to come back. So I begin to walk away from myself when I begin to use drugs. And then once I got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I don't have a drug problem. I don't got no drug problem until I use drugs. You know, the problem that I have is the disease of addiction. You know, and what I found out about the disease of addiction, anytime you've been diagnosed with a disease, a lifestyle change must be made. And the lifestyle change that must be made is I got to quit being fairly hip and eternally cool. That's the lifestyle change that I needed to make when I got to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Quit being slick, hip, and cool. I ain't no pimp. I ain't no hustler. I ain't Mr. Lover, man. I didn't make her say ooh-wee-ooh-wee all night long. But it's the lies of people that's... Because people used to say shit like, I did it all night long to her. And I was like, I'm only making it 3 minutes. What the fuck is wrong? Shit. You know, what's wrong?
Fucking knockout.
Because the first time I really experienced a sexual experience, I was 13 years old. I didn't have puberty yet. You know, girls will always fuck you up. No disrespect. But the women always throw a man off. She was a little fast little girl, Bridget. She might even be here by now. Bridget did me. But I'm hanging around 16-year-olds and I'm 13-years-old, trying to be like a 16-year-old instead of being a 13-year-old. Got put in a sexual position. Thought it was a great thing, but it ruined me. Because the day I had sex with Bridget is the same day I got drunk on Thunderbird. And so it seemed like a great day for an addict. Using. But an addict got a voice on the inside telling you ain't good enough if there was that Thunderbird. That it wasn't you. That I couldn't really experience who I really am. That I believe that I need a substance to be with a woman. So I ran for more coochie than I got if I didn't have a little chemicals and shit. But I'm really in touch with the reality of recovery is to experience love, for real. When you take away the bullshit and get authentic love from another human being, you put away all the masks, all the fronting, you know what I mean? And that's what I learned in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't need anything to experience love. I had to be a 3-minute man coming out the gate. And if they still wanted to be with me, that was really love. Not a Viagra. Now, I'll take one now. I need to say something too. I've said a lot of things in the last 26 years, and I've had an opportunity. When Brian, we were all talking, and I've had an opportunity to be behind this podium since I had 3 years clean, man. And one thing I want to say is the truth is always subject to revision. And if I offended anybody about my truth, you know, please forgive me. Please forgive me because. But the reality of men don't sleep in twin beds. People get mad at me about that, you know what I'm saying? That only little boys sleep in twin beds. Men sleep in king-size beds. And the reality of recovery, when I got to the program, I was a little boy, man, in a man's body, front physically a man, but emotionally, spiritually a little boy. And I found myself in bunk bed situations, man. So if I offended anybody, please forgive me. And I've learned a lot of things, man. And I've been able to stay committed to my wife for 25 years. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. I've been married to her for 33 years. You know what I mean? That's a great thing. You know, but if recovery is a reality, addiction is too. And I was in Detroit last week when I had to share on the vicious cycle. And I didn't really talk about it, but, you know, I'm going to tell you something about lust is a bad boy. Lust is more powerful than drugs. And lust has a cycle. It has a cycle. Man, I got the narcotics, and I never went outside my relationship until I got here. I mean, smoking crack. One thing, I'm going to tell you why I didn't mess around when I was in the street. Girls want to do something? Crack's shrivel your weenie up and shit. You be having two navels and shit. I just wasn't pulling my shit out. That was one reason why I didn't trick, you know what I mean, in addiction. You know what I'm saying? Just to be honest. I'm like, shit. Everybody talk, I'm going to get me a girl and I'm going to do all that. Fuck all that. The girls know. Let them take a hit first. They ain't got to do shit. But these motherfuckers be lying all this fucking they doing while they smoking coke and shit. That ain't my experience. You know, that ain't my experience, man. So, it's like that 16-year-old, I'm fucking all night 16-year-old shit. We get the DNA, it just be fronting, man. And the fronting that people did in this process have us messed up, man. I learned more about recovery not in the fucking meeting, man. I learned more about recovery riding in the car. Right? The girl with the big booty ain't there. We ain't got a front. You just be some real fucking sharing and shit. I learned more about recovery. And I'm going to tell you something. The discipline I've learned about recovery is because I've seen the discipline of the predecessors that was here before me. My man sitting there, man, the first man I see be able to express his emotions on a group level was Harold P. I seen him cry, man. He let me know that it was okay to cry, man. Because we come out of the streets thinking we ain't supposed to cry, men don't cry. I'm sensitive as hell. That's the reality of who I am. I ain't ashamed to be who I am, man. And that's the beautiful thing about narcotics. But lust, getting back to that lust thing, man. So I didn't go outside my marriage until I got here. And the cycle of lust has been coming around. It's become stronger and stronger. And I begin to look at history. Most men fall. Not all men, but most men fall. And I fell. You know, I fell. You know what I'm saying? And that's the truth. You know what I mean? And lust has reared its ugly head in my life again. And I never want to hurt. I'm happily married. But I understand the disease of addiction on a deeper level with 26 years clean. So anybody that messed up, I understand. Because it put me in a position that it's been difficult not to mess up. Difficult. That's the reality of recovery. It's a result of the men that I have in my life, because the company you keep is going to make the difference in your experience. It ain't the girl, it's the disease trying to destroy me with the defect of lust rearing his head again. I want to hurt my wife. I love my wife. I seen the wounded look in her eye when she found it out. That I never want. They say that type of shit forces long lasting change. The reality of recovery that if we continue to tap into these principles, man, that we can get through anything. The clean time, you get kind of slow, you know what I mean? You ride on your laurels, you know, step work be lacking, and shit get tight. And then we get old. I'm 56 years old. And a 32-year-old girl sent me an email, and I got obsessed. And the only thing that's been able to save my life from that experience is I've been transparent with my friends, my sponsees. Not the sponsor, sponsees, man. Let them know, man, that you struggle in this process, man. Struggle. So I've been in a spiritual struggle. That's the reality of recovery. We struggle in recovery. I ain't had a good struggle in a while. I've been rolling for a long time. You like that, huh, Richie? You don't feel alone, huh, motherfucker? Huh? The only thing that's saving me is my sponsees. My brother. You've been carrying the message for 25 years. Now you're going to carry the mess? I'm like, damn. Obsessing. Recovery is a reality. If recovery is a reality, so is God. Two Sundays ago, the reading is acting out in the Just for Today. I'm locked and loaded. I said, I'm fucking her. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? I'm locked and loaded. And I go to the meeting, and the Just for Today is acting out. It's acting out. It's the spirit, just some spiritual spooky shit in this process if you're in it. Acting out. But I'm telling my sponsors, this little girl's like me. And like, I'm tripping. It's a midlife crisis and shit. I'm tripping. 32? 56? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tripping. I'm obsessing. My spirit's leaving me. But the reality of recovery, we learn to share. Honest sharing is the antidote to disease. Thank you. So I'm sharing. And I'm making meetings. And I'm open to the night. I'm staying in the meeting. So it's acting out. So to read the thing, acting out. I'm fucked up now. I'm going to show my brother what I'm thinking, you know. And they come down and get right to me. It's time for me to share. 5 minutes before the meeting, they take the burning desire. The addict said, I'm 13 stepping and my spirit feels like shit. That's how powerful this program is. If I could just stay open to it, man, and pay attention to what's going on. That's the reality of recovery. We got something special here, man. We get into years instead of into days around here, man. That this is a day at a time program. And like, and I'm needing my sponsees and my sponsor to pull me through this situation till this obsession with lust passes. I ain't out the woods. Don't y'all be going up talking about George cheating on his wife, because that ain't the case. George got the fucking disease of addiction. And it's reared his ugly head in my life again. Ain't no big guys, no water walkers in the program of narcotics. None. That's the reality of recovery. No water walkers here. We all struggle in this thing a day at a time with something. You know what I mean? And I ain't had a really tough battle. And I had my recovery been sweet. Been sweet. You know what I'm saying? Everything just matched up. You know what I'm saying? So Narcotics Anonymous allowed me to have a loving, nurturing relationship with myself. Narcotics Anonymous put me in a position to reconnect with my family. You know, Narcotics Anonymous gave me my wife, and my child was able to raise my children. No child support. You know what I mean? Narcotics Anonymous was able to raise good children. I'm a counselor by profession. Influence. Attraction rather than promotion. That's what Narcotics Anonymous, that's the reality of recovery. We're an attraction rather than promoting. All my children are counselors. They didn't have to choose to be counselors, but they are counselors. You know what I'm saying? My wife's a counselor. It's attraction, man. That's what we do in this process. We attract people, man, to want to live this new way of life. One thing I've learned, the reality of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous, we think we be getting down. But the reality of it, we're some self-centered ass people. We really are, man. You know, I did a topic, you know, about, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, man. When we ain't principle-centered, we be doing some self-centered shit, man. Like pulling our pretty ass car in front of the fucking meeting. When there's a fucking parking lot, but you want somebody to see your wheels and shit. That's the stuff, you know, and that's the reality for us, man. And so we need to think more, man. We need to think more. No, for real, for real. Because this is, we got a beautiful thing that we got. And the reality of it is, look, I work in the field of counseling, and 95% of my population is opiate-dependent people. Ain't no more crackheads. Three alcoholics. 95 fucking opiate addicts. And one old toothless crackhead every now and then, and me. And the reality of it is, man, people are dying every day, man. Ain't no more old dope fiends no more. None. You can go to the cooker to blow two bags and be done. This shit is serious. You know, this is a serious thing. It's an epidemic for real, man. And it's up to us to lead by example, to make Narcotics Anonymous a reality that people can walk away clean and live by principle and don't got a front anymore. Be you. Be you and your diverse personality. Because guess what? We all got style. But then you got some substance. We all be walking around all shined up in our new shit. But, you know, you can be all shined up and rimmed up and looking good, but don't got no transmission. So what's more important? What's more important? The motor or the paint job? Shit. The reality of recovery for me, man, I got to get the motor. I got to keep the motor tuned, man, in my life, man. And so how I keep my motor tuned is like keep my spirit in condition, man. And one thing, like spirituality is like water in your hands. It just oozes through. And you got to keep scooping it up. You got to keep tapping in. You can't hold on to it. You know, and that's what I've realized in this process. You know, with 26 years plus in, man, that I got to dig in a little deeper. You know what I'm saying? Because some shit's going to really happen if I don't. You know, that's the reality of recovery. So if recovery is a reality, so is addiction, even though we claim. So I want to thank God for y'all allowing me to come share with y'all. I didn't come to impress nobody. You know what I mean? I just came to, like, report it, man, that it's real out here. It's real out here. This is scary. I ain't into hurting people, man. I ain't into hurting people. But this thing is about trying to hurt people. So, like I said, those of you that fucked around, I understand now. Look at who this motherfucker think he is. You know what I'm saying? He got 25 years. He ain't cheated on this motherfucker. He think who the... Look, I understand now. It's just scary. Thanks for allowing me to share. I keep coming back.